Now, I don't do this every week, but you all know that sometimes I like to start a sermon out with something that's a little lighthearted, occasionally even somewhat funny. Especially, I consider this option for difficult text or touchy subject matters. It's kind of something I was trained in school. My professor said, you know, that if you have to talk about something difficult, then starting out with a little humor, it's like mixing in something sweet with some bad tasting medicine, right? So you kind of put those two together. I always, though, try to tie the humor into whatever the subject matter is for the day. So often I will just go to Google and I will simply type in something like jokes about whatever the topic is. I learned a valuable lesson preparing for this sermon. Do not do a Google search for jokes on lust. As your pastor, I am discouraging doing a Google search for jokes on lust. I read for about 30 seconds and realized I'm not going to find anything in here that is appropriate for this sermon, or really any sermon whatsoever. So let me just discourage you from doing that. And so this morning, I'm just going to dive into the topic rather than try to start off with something a little lighthearted. This morning, our thoughts actually turn to two deadly sins, envy and lust. We're combining these two sins because there are seven deadly sins. There are only six Sundays in Lent, so these two go together today. But actually, it's interesting because lust and envy do have a connection. There's a relationship between the two. So what exactly are we talking about this morning when we think about and focus on envy and lust? Let's start with lust. Lust is defined as an overwhelming craving. In other words, lust is, when we think of it, we think of lust as to have an intense or an obsessive desire for something or for someone. Often we think of lust more specifically as a craving for intimate personal relationships, and certainly that is true. But in a more general sense, lust is an overwhelming, intense, or obsessive desire or craving for anything. Lust says, I see it and I want it. I have to have it. Well, what about envy? Envy is a resentful desire for another person's possessions or advantages. In other words, envy is not only an unhealthy desire or craving, but it is also a desire or craving for something someone else has. So, with envy, like lust, there is a desire to gain or to have something, but envy also carries with it a sense of resentment, bad feelings toward someone else because he or she has what we would like to have. So you see, these two deadly sins are distinct, but there is a relationship, a connectedness between the two. The commonality is that these two deadly sins both focus on something that is not currently part of our lives, but something we desperately crave and want to obtain while at the same time despising those who already have what we do not have. In other words, with lust and envy, we become focused on something that we do not have, and we crave that thing or that person while resenting those who do have the very thing that we crave. Ultimately, with both lust and envy, we are talking about desire. We're talking about unhealthy cravings. We're not necessarily talking about how we treat other people, though envy and lust both do distort our relationships. We're talking about our secret wants, our cravings, our desires. So are lust and envy problems for Christians today? Or Let's make this more personal. Are lust and envy problems in your spiritual life? Let's talk a little more about these two deadly sins, starting with envy. Shakespeare called envy, quote, the green sickness. Francis Bacon admitted that envy, quote, has no holidays. In other words, even when we're stuck at home, when we're quarantined away from other people, envy is still there. Another said envy is, quote, the most corroding of the vices. Someone else added, there is not a passion so strongly rooted in the human heart as envy. Here's another way to think about the dangers of envy. It is related to something that Jessica and the children talked about, and that is envy's close cousin, jealousy. One person has described the relationship between envy and jealousy in this way. How does envy differ from its twin, jealousy? Well, envy is the more sophisticated of the two. It is painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by a strong desire to possess that same advantage. Envy wants to have what someone else possesses. Jealousy wants to possess what it already has. In other words, jealousy is something that I have it and I don't want to give it up. It guards the thing or the relationship fiercely that I already have. Jealousy is coarse and cruel. Envy is sneaky and subtle. Jealousy clutches and smothers. Envy is forever reaching, longing, squinting, thinking, and saying sinister insinuations. Now, we think about the relationship between envy and jealousy, we see there's a similar relationship between envy and lust. Like envy, lust is forever reaching. It is always longing. It is wanting that which it does not currently have. Think about the power of lust. Someone has written, lust moves the world. Like neon in Las Vegas, the glittering magnetism of intimate temptation. Lines and lights both sides of every street we travel. Lust may torment more individuals, destroy more families, and threaten more churches and other ministries than any other single temptation. It's obvious, isn't it? Envy and lust are real problems. They're real problems in our world today. They're real problems in the church. They are problems that Christians struggle with. Both of these deadly sins affect our lives. So, what does the Bible say about the unhealthy, destructive desires associated with envy and lust? Well, we heard the interesting story that Doyle read earlier for us and that Jessica and the children talked about with the relationship between Saul and David. We talked about this passage a few months ago, but we come back to it tonight, today, this morning, because of the unhealthy desire that this story tells us about in the life of King Saul. Saul was king, but David was the one getting all the attention and praise. And you remember that line where the women sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. And Saul was, quote, envious of David's popularity. He lusted after David's fame. And you know what the result of his envy and lust was regarding David? Saul ended up with a life full of anger and bitterness and sorrow. When the young women of Israel sing their praise for David, Saul becomes so angry that the Bible says, quote, listen to this, Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now, the Hebrew word for eye is similar to the English word. It can also function as a verb, to eye someone. So this verse literally says, Saul eyed David. In other words, he looked at David as someone who he felt had something he wanted, but he did not have. What an appropriate image for envy and lust. And it reminds us that envy and lust often begin with something we see, something that we eye. The eye becomes the portal of desire, leading to envy and lust. And when we look at others with envy and lust, our eyes actually broadcast evil. Another example of the dangers of envy and lust are found in the parable of the workers of the vineyard. Jesus talked about how many of the workers envied the owner's generosity to the other workers. They lusted after the grace that was given to other people. Jesus asked, "Are you envious because I am generous?" It's interesting, the Greek language there actually uses the idiom of the evil eye. In other words, the phrase literally has Jesus saying, "Is your eye evil because I am good? Are you giving me the evil eye because I am being gracious?" You see, envy and lust distort how we see. They change our vision. Even God's founding covenant with Israel in the Ten Commandments included specific warnings about envy and lust. You remember the very last of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not covet," meaning desire in an envious or lustful way, "your neighbor's home or spouse or anything else that belongs to your neighbor." Why? Because envy and lust destroy our lives. Another passage is in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, that talks about envy and lust. The writer of Ecclesiastes says these two sins ultimately lead us to emptiness. The writer of Ecclesiastes describes the phenomenon in this way. He says, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from one person's envy or lust of another. This also is vanity and a chasing after the wind." In other words, the real danger of envy and lust, if we let them control our lives, is they lead us to being empty, just like King Saul. The author of Ecclesiastes observed that people are often more motivated by envy and lust than they are just personal self-improvement. He said, basically, what drives many people is the desire to keep up with those around them or to gain what they have. That is envy and lust rather than simply self-improvement. But probably the most compelling passage about envy and lust is our text for today. In the book of James, we read that we are to exhibit gentle humility in our lives rather than envy and selfish ambition. Remember what James says. "For where there is envy and selfish ambition," or we might say desire, such as lust, "there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." Instead of filling our lives with envy and lust, we are encouraged by Scripture to fill our lives with God's wisdom, wisdom from above, James says. For those who please God are open to this wisdom from above that leads to purity and peace and gentleness and a willingness to yield to God's ways rather than emptiness and anger and bitterness. This lifestyle, the lifestyle of wisdom from above, draws people together in harmony rather than instigating division and strife that are the results from envy and lust. Divine wisdom produces a spirit of gentle and graciousness. It suggests that a willingness on our part is to accept one's grace and God's will without envy or lust that lead to frustration and anger. I think James reminds us of the great proverb, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom is the answer, James says, to envy and lust. Because wisdom produces a heart that is willing to yield to God rather than our own selfish cravings. The bottom line for me is that envy and lust distort the way we see. They change the way we relate to one another in marriages. One partner may be envious of the other partner's career or opportunities or maybe even personality. In families, brothers and sisters become envious and even lustful about the success and the achievements of others. At times, we envy the success and achievements of friends and family and members around us. We wish our lives were more like their lives, but we do not see the pain and struggle that lies behind the curtain of their lives. We lust after the lives of our friends on social media. Everyone we see is happy. They're traveling, not now, but in normal times, they are traveling and doing things. Everyone seems that their life is perfect, and we sit and we look and we think, why is my life not that way? It's ripe, fertile ground for the growth of envy and lust in our lives, but we don't see the reality behind the Instagram and Facebook photos. Envy and lust, unhealthy desires and cravings, they distort the way in which we see those around us, how we relate to them. They distort our feelings and they leave us with emptiness and sadness. When our spiritual vision gets out of focus, internal frustration and external strife are the results. James encourages us to embrace the wisdom from above. This wisdom, God's wisdom, provides the corrective lenses that we need to get our lives back on track and back in focus. James says that when we cultivate a proper relationship with God, we can then see more clearly how to relate to others. And this renewed clarity diminishes strife. It magnifies peace by leading us to walk gently and kindly and humbly with others. What we need is God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom to look beneath the surface in our lives. Are envy and lust part of the motivation behind some of our behaviors? Are envy and lust part of the reasons why we sometimes are rude to one another? Are envy and lust why we sometimes gossip? Maybe a lot of gossip is connected to envy. Are envy and lust behind name-calling and labeling? Are envy and lust behind sarcasm, being critical of others, maybe even pouting by children and adults? The reality is envy and lust play roles in our relationships that are hurting and broken. If you have a relationship in your life that is hurting, that is broken, chances are envy and lust are part of that relationship. Envy and lust bring about pain and disharmony in relationships ranging from sibling rivalry to marriages to good friendships. But the good news today is envy and lust don't have to endure in our lives. God's wisdom is greater, and it is the goal for us as Christians. We're reminded to do and hear the word of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let that person show it by living a good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. This Lent, especially as we are quarantined away from one another, as we are at home, maybe with more time to ourselves, during these days and weeks, we have the opportunity to reflect on our lives. We have the chance to take an inventory of how we're living the life God has given to us. We have the opportunity to focus on those parts of our lives that dampen or hinder the opportunity to live abundant lives. The bottom line, this Lent, it's a great season. It is a great opportunity for us as Christians to give up envy and lust. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful this day that your word constantly challenges and comforts us. Lord, during this season of the year, we are reminded that you have called us to examine our lives, to see where we have fallen short, to find ways to give up those things that hinder our opportunity to live abundant lives. Lord, lead us and guide us in your ways as we seek wisdom from above and give up those things in our lives that distract us and pull us away from you. Lead us and guide us in these ways, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.